Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jack Farmer, he's Andy Rossi, and we are almost to the end of this season of Evolution of Movies. How you doing, Andy?
Wow. Yeah, it's, can't believe it. We did it.
Another year, another season. You know, there was a time when we celebrated getting 8 episodes in. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah. That was last year.
That was a long time ago. And how things have changed, something that hasn't changed, is we always bring on a guest. And this time, it's no exception. We are bringing on Johnny Vallone from the band Make Magic, going into studio soon. But you just
What's
got
up?
Done performing at the Viper Room. How's it going, Johnny?
Cheers, guys. Cheers from Chicago.
Thanks so much for being on the show. Now, I hear you guys are about to hit the studio.
We are. You know, we formed at the end of 2020, and 21 we wrote about 12 or 13 songs, and then in 22 we played out a few very exciting venues, and now we're just like, 23 has got to be the recording year, because guess what? You can't really hear any of our songs. You can hear, you know, one.
Yeah. Is it now? That's interesting. You guys formed in 2020. I imagine you're one of the few bands that formed before you could even possibly go out and play live, because everything was shut down. That's it, kind of backwards, isn't it? Usually people play live and then kind of grow from there, but you guys sort of did the reverse.
Yeah, it was the end of 2020, and the world was ending, and so I was just like, now's a good time, now's the best time. So I called up my buddy Alex, and I said, hey, do you want to get crazy? And he's just like, yeah, let's get crazy. So we formed as a duo, wrote all the songs, and then went out and did some acoustic shows for a bit, and then put the band together in 22. So
very cool. Well, looking forward to those releases. You said there's one song out, you said, right?
Yeah. If you can go to, you know, anywhere music is available,
Spotify,
which would be Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Pandora, it would just be radio. Anywhere, just go to Make Magic and look for Dusty Feathers, which is absolutely ridiculous for a title, but it's, you know, it's indie rock, so we're allowed to do anything you want when you're indie rock.
I was gonna say, that sounds like an old like WWF wrestling name.
Yeah, right.
Dusty Feathers.
Doesn't sound like the most successful wrestler.
No, he wasn't very good.
Dusty Feathers didn't win a lot, but
no, not at all.
But had the heart of the people, I think.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fan favorite,
which is what we want to be. We want to have the heart of the people and not play a lot. You know.
Right. Well, check out Make Magic, Dusty Feathers, anywhere music is streamed. By the way, you sound like me when I'm giving pitches during this show. The iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, like, comment, share, subscribe. We'll get into that in a second. Before we do, though, this is the Evolution of Movies show. And what we do is we watch a movie and then we chat about it book club style. But we call it the Evolution of Movies because we always pick a movie that came out 1 year after the last movie we talked about. So started in 1980, went to 1981, 1982. Now we're all the way up to 2021. Time when movie theaters had hits like Red Notice, Suicide Squad, and of course, The Tomorrow War. But we aren't talking about those. We're talking about Pig, a movie IMDb describes as a truffle hunter who lives alone in the Oregon wilderness must return to his past in Portland in search of his beloved foraging pig after she is kidnapped. Johnny, had you seen this movie before, and what were your thoughts going into it this time around?
I had not seen it before when Andy pitched it to me, and I saw Pig, and I'm like, oh, Nick Cage. And I was imagining, all right, yeah, this is going to be John Wick with a pig. And it was not.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had never heard of this movie going into it until Andy picked it. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't want to look too much into it because I wanted the surprise. I just, like you, saw Nicolas Cage, a pig is involved.
Yeah.
Seems like a great great recipe, I guess. And recipe is quite the word to use for this one, as we later find out. I had no idea. Ooh. Now, I had kind of mixed reactions to this, watching this movie, and we'll get into all the details. But sure. Johnny, we always like to play a game here. And what we do is Andy is going to first tell us his thoughts going into the movie, but then also is going to try to guess what the Rotten Tomatoes score is. And then after he picks what he thinks it is, it's your job to figure out if you think the actual score is higher or lower than what Andy picked.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
So Andy, right. What did you think of the movie, and what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is?
I had never seen it. I, like Johnny, thought this was John Wick is going to go medieval on everyone.
Yeah.
So that's what I was expecting. Yeah, didn't really happen. Better movie than I expected. Like, there is like lessons learned and growth, and you know, a lot of good stuff happened. So I do remember critics really liking this movie, so I think it did pretty well on Rotten Tomatoes. You never know what you're gonna get with Nicolas Cage, so I don't really know exactly what critics picked, but I'm gonna say this got a pretty good ranking. But I don't know, this is like a really tough one to pick. I'm gonna go like 78. That's what I'm gonna go with.
78, it sounds high, but I would say most of our movies are 80 and above or 40 and below. And so,
wait, Jack, can you describe the difference in picks though to Johnny? Like, typically, who picks the movies that are 40 and below? I'm just curious.
Usually, I pick the movies are 40 and below. I think they're fun though. I don't care.
That's
true. I take risks, Andy.
That's true. That's true.
So 78 puts it at a decent rating, but also a bit on the lower end of the spectrum of movies we've watched. Johnny, do you think the real score is higher or lower than 78?
You know, this is such a character study piece, and in a world where it's run by Star Wars and Marvel, and that's actually one company now,
and Pixar.
And Pixar, right?
Right.
And just Disneyland. I would say if I had to guess right away, I would say it hit the 80s. I would say it's like 82 or 84, because it's definitely gonna be something that the critics are like, holy cow, this movie's incredible, and Nicolas Cage is like different, and you know, like all those things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's a little bit higher than Andy.
So you got it higher than 78. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 97%.
Possibly
the highest movie we've seen. I don't keep track of them anymore, but I think it might be in contention as the highest rated movie we've watched on this show.
It's like Paddington.
Yeah, that's like Toy Story,
which I think might be a little bit generous to the. That's, I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but 97 feels a little generous.
That does feel a bit high.
That's ridiculous. There's so a buddy of mine told me this a while back when we were talking about bands. He said there's this committee that gets together once a year, and they look at all the bands that are coming out that year, and they just randomly pick one out of the hat and say, "This is the band, guys. This is the one that we're all going to say is awesome." And then they just throw
Radiohead.
It in and go, all right. Yeah, it's like, you're right. Yeah. It's like that. It's like Radiohead or whatever. But no, Radiohead is awesome though. But that's the idea. So maybe they picked out Pig at the beginning of the year and they said, this is the one, guys. And they threw it back in the hat.
Yeah. And then the year after was, what's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch? Like the.
Oh, right.
Doctor Strange.
I know, Way of the Dog.
Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog.
Yeah.
That
one.
Yeah.
I watched that and I was like, what? Huh?
Right.
Now, it was like a 90 something on that one.
I will say the performances in this movie are great. The acting is fantastic. So I get that. But I think the thing that stood out to me that makes it feel like 97% is high is it felt like this wasn't a complete story to me going through. I felt very much like there was stuff that happened before this movie and there's probably stuff that happens after this movie. And if, I don't know, I feel like I didn't get a complete picture as we watched this movie. And again, we'll go through it all, but everything felt good in this movie. It just felt like, oh, that it didn't feel complete. When it was over, I was kind of like, oh,
Jack,
it's done.
Are you saying the movie wasn't long enough for you?
I know this is very rare. It was only an hour and a half, so it did have some time it could have shared.
It had some wiggle room. Could have went a little longer.
Yes. But let's go ahead and get into the movie. But first, let's say go hit the like button, comment, share, subscribe. You know, do that thing. iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. Share it with your friends. Go ahead and just copy the link and put it on social media. That's always a cool thing to do. Why not?
Yeah, maybe like my post when I post about it. You know.
Yeah, make it feel like people care.
Come on, Mom.
Come on, Mom. Well, let's get into this show. We start with what is called part one, Rustic Mushroom Tart. Out in the wilderness, Rob and his pig are searching for truffles, and they find some. They cook them. They sleep. It's a fine day until Amir drives up and buys some truffles. Amir tells Rob to get a shower, but Rob doesn't really want to listen. Rob instead listens to a tape of a woman briefly before cutting it off and telling his pig, I'm okay. At night, coyotes are heard, but Rob tells his pig to go back to sleep until tweakers blast their way in and steal the pig, knock out Rob, and drive away. Johnny, this is a quick start to the movie, but tell us about this world that we live in and the characters that inhabit it.
Well, you know what? I was thinking, you know, this is, what's his name? Cameron. No, what's his name from Con Air?
Nick Cage.
The character.
I don't remember the name.
Poe.
Like Colin.
Cameron
Poe.
Cameron
Poe.
I think.
So he's kind of like, it's like Cameron Poe went out to the woods. And I'm just like, all right, that's cool.
Here's your teddy bear.
Yeah, right. it's real interesting. I enjoyed what was happening at the beginning, but then it just the pacing started, right? Where I was just like, oh, we are in a slow burn phase. And it's something to be said for chapters in a movie when the movie is like The Irishman, like 17 hours long, right? You're like, okay, I need chapters to follow this freaking movie. Mm-hmm. But when it's a 90-minute movie, do I need chapters? Do I really need chapters in a 90 movie? And plus, when the chapters are like, what? Like, you read them and you're like, okay. Then it starts bordering on pretentious. And I'm just like, eh. So immediately my brain shifted to, great. And then I wanted to like just suck myself back into it. So that's how it kind of started. But I did enjoy how he's very Nick Cage at the beginning. He's very much like, this is my character. Because when he gets into his characters, he gets into his characters. And I'm like, okay, cool, Nick, let's do this. So that's how I felt at the beginning.
Yeah, Andy, this is a movie that I thought did a very good job of basically quickly setting up who the characters are and what this movie is going to be about. You get a quick glimpse of Amir. You definitely get a understanding of who Rob is very quick. And the pig's gone. Like, this one's pretty much off the races pretty quick.
Yeah, and like Johnny said, he's full Nick Cage. Just when Amir, I love Amir's car, by the way. This is like a perfect, he's got a Camaro. I just thought that was funny. But yeah, he's just like talking to him and he doesn't respond. And I'm like, that's just great. Just don't respond, Cage. And the pig is so ridiculously cute. And I knew that they were going to take him, but I was still very angry that they got the pig. But, you know, kind of again, like what Johnny said earlier, I'm like, okay, here comes vengeance. Cage is like, because Cage, like the way he looked, I'm like, this guy had to be like a former like badass. Like, I bet he knows some kind of like martial arts. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready for it. Here we go. They're taking the pig. Now Cage is going to train in the woods. Yeah. He's going to get all jacked. And like, I can't wait. Can't wait for the training montage.
Yeah. Right. I thought that, and again, we'll talk about it as we go on. I thought most of this movie was going to be in the woods and him like hunting people in the woods and getting really woodsy, I guess. I don't know. I imagined a bow and arrow being used at some
point. Absolutely. Because there's a part two where I think it was like the night before he takes a knife and he like sticks it in something. And I'm like, okay, I know people are going to take the pig. He's going to use that knife. And then he's going to make like a big axe. Or I was just waiting for him to like put together all these weapons and stuff.
Right.
Here we go.
Yeah. I expected traps in the woods. I expected I expected a scene where he comes up out of the icy river and like from behind somebody. I don't know, but
we all had these preconceived notions. Like, we all were just like, we expected this, we wanted this, and like none of it happened. We had no idea where this wavelength was going for this movie.
I will say, to Nicolas Cage's credit, I 100% believed he was a dude who'd been living in the woods by himself.
Absolutely. He probably had been.
He sold me on that completely. I know I've heard he's had money troubles. If you told me this was a reality show of what he's doing with his life now, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. He's living in the woods and
getting truffles. Yeah.
Just getting truffles. So I just thought his character though was built very good for me in the sense I was like, mm-hmm. this is a very weird guy who's been in the woods too long.
Yeah.
But we continue on, and the next day Rob wakes up and gets his truck running for a little bit. He ends up walking to a diner and asks for Marge, who apparently died 10 years ago. He calls Amir and asks him for a ride, and in silence, they drive together to another seller who is eager to help once she learns someone took Rob's pig. The tweakers say they sold it to a guy in a nice car from the city, so off our heroes go to the city. Andy, what I loved about this is the lady who was like also selling truffles, and she kind of came off at first like she was like, oh no, you stole a pig, you don't get away with that here. But then you find out when she talks to Tweaker, she was really just upset, like, you must be poaching my truffles.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you mentioned her. I wanted more of her. She was kind of like a little badass lady, like, yeah. And I love that she just was like, oh, I'm gonna take care of this right now. And I was ready for her. I'm like, okay, her and Cage are going to be together. She's got some martial arts skills as well.
She's waiting.
They're going to take out these tweakers, especially once they got in there. I'm like, oh, here we go. Cage is going to do like a slam their head off the thing. And, you know, I'm just, because especially like those tweaker type characters, no one likes them. So you're just like, oh yeah, the audience wants them, you know, to be destroyed. And they don't. They don't get destroyed.
Yeah, this was a I thought, yeah, they were going to recruit her. And basically, I thought we were going to get to the point of the movie where he's like building his team, you know, to go find the pig.
Which, absolutely.
And I thought they were going to find a bunch of weird woodsy yahoos to go fight whoever took his pig.
Absolutely.
But Johnny, it looks like from this point on, it does set the tone in a good way of it clearly being an odd couple movie of Amir and Rob working together.
Yes. Yes. And Amir his role is very understated, I believe. Mm-hmm. He kind of has all these moments where he's just such a great listener and there's something going on. But there's all this like subtlety that you don't notice until you really notice it. Like Andy was saying, he's driving a Camaro, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But he's always listening to like classical music as if almost like he knows he's not very classy. Like he's trying to like be better about being in his class of where he wants to be. He's trying to prove something to himself. And the juxtaposition with Cage, who you find out was in that world at some point in his life and now has completely removed himself from it. You start to see these two people are like, you know, how interesting would this movie be if it was just Cage going everywhere? But it's far more interesting when you got this guy next to him, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to like watch them both.
And who was Marge, by the way? Because that part definitely made me laugh. He's like, I need to talk to Marge. And they're like, oh, she's dead.
She died 10 years ago.
I missed that completely. Who is she?
It was really brief. I don't even know why.
You never see Marge. He just goes, no. He just walks to the diner and asks for Marge, and Marge is dead.
Okay.
And his reaction was just like, oh.
Was this before or after Fight Club?
This was before. This was before he found the tweakers.
Okay.
It was just very brief.
It was just a quick scene where he just walks in and then he said, can I use the phone? Are you going to buy anything? No.
That was great. That was such a great line. I thought that was great because normally they'd be like, well, then you're not using the phone. But she was just like, all right, you can have it.
Yeah, I definitely got the vibe like, yeah, just give this guy what he wants.
Right.
Just let this guy use the phone. But yeah, I want to talk more about Amir because, Johnny, I think you hit on so many good points with him, too, is in a lot of ways, because he is kind of silly, but he's not over the top. I think he's a good surrogate for the audience as he's a normal city person sitting next to this weirdo from the woods and having to deal with him. Yeah. And the fact that he's not over the top silly, I think makes it easier for us to kind of see what Rob looks like sitting next to a quote unquote normal person. Mm-hmm. And it makes Rob seem even more outlandish and disconnected from society throughout this. So I liked him.
Yeah, he was great. He's well acted too.
Agreed. Well acted.
This is where the movie really kicks off though. I feel like They get to Portland and Rob borrows 10 bucks. And then Rob gives something to Edgar, and Edgar says Rob doesn't exist anymore before Edgar asks Amir if he even knows Rob's real name. They wait until midnight and go to a place that knows who Amir is, but Rob says they need to go to the Hotel Portland. It's a torn down building that has been covered up, but the basement is still there underground, and that's where Edgar lives and where he runs fights for restaurant workers. Rob shows up and everyone gets quiet. Then there's a sign with Rob's name on it, and everyone is in awe of his presence. People put money down and Rob takes a beat down, and the guy even punches past the end of the clock. Rob pulls himself back up and says, "I'm looking for my pig." Edgar gives Rob a slip of paper and the two head back to Amir's place to rest up. Johnny, what the hell was this scene all about?
I don't know. I still don't know. After watching it and thinking about it, I think it was only to get information, right? And he wanted to prove himself, so he wanted to go back to his roots, I guess. Because so, first of all, they've created this underground society of like restaurant and like wait staff, and you're like, wait a minute. Then you start thinking, is this actual exist? Like, do we need to all go to Portland and try to find this?
Yeah.
And the beatdown too, like, do those guys that get beat up, they get the money, right? Is that or who gets the money? Do the one guys pay to fight the homeless guys, and the homeless guys get the money? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it looked like people pay to just beat the crap out of somebody. And
is there not betting? Do people win money? Like, that's what you're right, Andy. I didn't understand what was going on there.
And this was the part of the movie where, to me, I feel like we're not getting the whole thing, because this never comes back. This never plays a part later in the movie.
It doesn't need to.
But I have so many questions. What is this? Why is he famous here? Did he used to go there regularly and just get beat up?
Well, that's the thing too, because again, not knowing what was happening in this movie, I was like, all right, here we go. This is where Cage comes in, puts his name on, and he's just going to mess everyone up. I'm like, I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. And then he just gets his ass kicked. And it's like, you ever see that Simpsons where Homer Simpson just stands in the ring and they just keep punching him until they get tired? That's what it like reminded me of. I'm like, is he just going to stand up? And I thought maybe that's what he was doing. He was going to like never fall and be like, you'll never knock me down. But no, this like kind of wussy looking guy like gets him down and then just keeps wailing on him. I'm like, what does this prove?
And I think that was the problem. The one thing I did appreciate was at the beginning of the movie, he got beat up and took it right. He took it real well at the beginning when they took the pig. He was just like, this is nothing for me, you know, like, and then you saw, oh, this is nothing for him because this is a normal Wednesday or whatever that he used to do. So, but you're right. I couldn't find the connection between why he thought it was so important to like prove himself to that particular event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense, but I'm glad that before that we got one of the best lines of the movie. What's his name? Amir is like saying all this stuff about him, and he goes, "I don't F my pig."
It's great because he waited a little bit before he said that.
Yeah, he let him say all the things so that he's like, "No, I don't.
No, I don't."
All the other stuff, he was like, "Fine," but I'm not a weirdo.
But yeah, I absolutely thought this was going to take the movie in a different direction. I was like, okay, now we're going to get to the fighting. He's going to have to like fight his way to the top, and he's going to free his pig in a Kumite style like fight tournament or something.
Especially when he wrote his name, and they like took a really long time with that. They saw like the setup, and it was like, okay, he's going to write his name, and people were like, uh-oh, here he comes. And I'm like, here we go. I thought it was going to be like Blade. Like there was all of a sudden, there's going to be like this techno music and he's just going to beat ass. But instead it was like, it was the song, "I Only Have Eyes for You," like this really like love song, and him just getting wailed on.
Yeah. I would have sworn that the story here was going to be that he was an underground fighting champion who accidentally killed like a cop or something in a fight and had to disappear into the woods to not be caught. And that's why he's where he is now. But
Okay, but you see what's happening, guys? You guys are still making all these assumptions.
I know.
And at this point in the movie, I clean slate. I was just like, okay, I have no idea what's happening in this movie. I'm just going to let it happen. And you guys are like, where's Brad Pitt? Like, you're like, no, this is not this movie.
Yeah, I'd say, oh, yeah. I mean, I was looking for him all the time. But yeah. I'd say, yeah, once he got beat up and he was just on the ground and then, like, got the information about the pig, I go, okay, I guess this isn't John Wick.
Right.
Yeah.
Cage edition.
You know what it is, though? It's part two, Mom's French Toast and Deconstructed Scallops. Mm. Rob wants to go to Fenway's for lunch because it's the next step on the road to the pig. Amir says his parents hated each other except for a time they had a meal they loved and it was Rob that cooked it. Then Amir says his mom eventually killed herself. Amir's dad, on the other hand, is still tough. Rob says we don't have to care about anything because an earthquake is coming that will flatten everything, and anyone who survives it will be hit by a tidal wave and wash everything into the ocean, which kind of put me in a bad mood personally for a little bit. But also, stale bread is best for French toast. Amir tries to pump himself up and shows he's in competition with his own dad before trying to use a connection to get into his dad's spot at Fenway's. His friend isn't helping until Amir says he's trying to help out Robin Feld. Meanwhile, Robin sneaks into a backyard of his old house and learns to play a handpan. Andy,
yeah, that happened.
Johnny alluded to this earlier, so I'll ask you here. What do these names for these chapters mean? I couldn't put together any correlation.
No, I was expecting, like, on Ozark, when they show you, like, the main title in the beginning, there's, like, four, like, symbols, and they'll all, like, come to play at some point, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they ever said anything about it. You said scallops?
Deconstructed scallops.
This movie, I will say, did make me hungry. I did want to eat right after this movie, or during this movie, I should say. I did eat during this movie, I shall say.
And Johnny, so we're still trying to piece together Rob's past life, I think, is kind of the premise of this part of the movie. But I feel like this movie started and I was supposed to have information I didn't have. Like, I didn't even realize Rob had formerly been a chef until this point. And even then, he just said that was Rob's spot. He didn't actually say Rob was a chef until later on in the movie.
Right.
And so I felt like, I don't know, watching this, they're trying to piece together his life. But I felt like I was like a step behind watching this whole thing.
So at this point, when they're at Finley's, is that what it's called?
Fenway's.
Fenway's. And Amir brings up his mom had passed or whatever. So the piling of loss is what's happening, right? So mm-hmm. He lost his pig, right? Cage lost his pig. Amir lost his mom / the wife of his dad, right? Mm-hmm. So that's loss. If we really want to get down to it, we all skip this, but at the beginning, he's playing that cassette, right?
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, there's something there, you know, like his wife or someone, you're assuming someone died, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why he's like out in the woods. Like that's what I thought. I'm like, okay, someone died. He wanted to escape everything. So you lost the wife, you lost the pig, you lost the mom. He lost his ability to play a cassette player, apparently. And so like all of these things started like really bringing into the theme. And so that is when I'm like, okay, I got it. Forget it. No one's fighting. There's going to be no wars. There's no, like, you know, Mortal Kombat. Nothing is happening here. Yeah. It's just going to be a slow movie about this dude who may or may not ever find his pig and a sense of loss. It's like, it's right there where it's just like, this is total character movie. Everyone, you study this guy, you study this guy, you study character. So.
And you just brought up a point I didn't think about until just now, but like his wife, at least we're made to think like she passed, like how long ago do we know? Was it 10 years ago?
I don't know.
At least 10, I would assume, because Mars died at least 10 years ago. So
yeah, well, I was going to say, even with the technology of a cassette, like when's the last time that was something you were making? Mm-hmm. So I didn't think about that until now. But yeah, mm-hmm. So she had probably been passed for quite some time.
Yeah, right. She recorded on a cassette. It would have been like the 90s, I would have thought. I would think. Or maybe the 2000s if you didn't have recording software or something. I don't know. But yeah, it must have been a while. But yeah, Johnny, you're right. This is it, that's a good call. Is that definitely a movie about loss and things mm-hmm. that everyone is trying to cover. But then also, and how does that play into the fact though, that Rob talks about nothing matters. There's a level of loss hurts, but at the same time, nothing matters because he says at the end of the day, we're all going to die in an earthquake or get washed away to the ocean anyhow. So
right.
It doesn't have to, nothing has, you don't have to care.
And
but maybe, as I think of it, maybe that's fine. You don't have to care, but you get to care. I don't know.
Well, and then one thing I want to talk about, because this was bothering me the whole time. He's beat up, right? Nick Cage.
Yeah.
He's just beat up, right? Like his face is disgusting. I'm just throwing that out there because it remains that way for quite some time.
Well, it would. I mean,
the guy never thought to, like, I don't know. He's got blood in his beard. It's like, dude, get the blood out of your beard. He's like bleeding from his eye. It's
I like think he cares. Like, he just doesn't care.
I know. It's so, but I was hoping someone would be like, hey, let me just help you real quick, buddy. You got blood in your beard.
That was actually something I kept thinking, and I probably shouldn't have, but I was just thinking the whole time, I bet that dude stinks.
Oh, like, yeah.
So bad.
I was thinking that when he was getting beat up.
The whole time he was in his house, I was like, I bet that smell isn't coming out of your house for a while, dude. Like, you're going to smell like stinky woodsman.
And I'm guessing Nick Cage went full Cage and was stinky. And it was probably real blood.
he really let someone beat him to a pulp just to make sure he got it right. We get to the next part here, and at Fenway's, the guys get a lecture about challenging our beliefs before they finally get to eat their dinner. Rob takes one bite and demands to speak to the chef. Amir says his dad sells to that place, so he can't be there, and Rob doesn't understand why Amir's dad isn't more supportive of Amir. The chef gets there, and Rob asks about the pig. The chef there apparently used to work for Rob years ago, and Rob fired him. The chef says that the concept of the restaurant is local ingredients, but Rob wants to know why he didn't open up a pub like he had dreamed of doing. Rob says none of this is real and no one is real, and we don't get a lot of things to really care about. He then asks again, where is my pig? And it turns out it's with Amir's dad. Amir gives Rob his dad's information, and Rob says he never wants to see Amir again. Johnny, this is where I think everything you just said really connected for me, mm-hmm. that this movie is about things we care about and that we don't get to care a lot about a lot of things, as he says. And he all it really comes down to is he just cares about this pig.
Yes. Yes, he does. And this actually, there was a great moment in this conversation he was having where you saw a different side of Cage. And that was when he had this incredible memory about this guy's past wishes to be this different sort of restaurant guy. Like, he had this like dream to do all this, right? And Cage called him on it. Cage mm-hmm. was just like, hey, remember when you told me that you wanted to do this? How's that going for you? And the guy's just like, you son of a, you know, like, he was just like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And you start to see that Cage is just layered. Like, he's not just this like homeless woodsman who used to be a chef, but he had this like totally different personality. And now that he was sort of secluded into this wilderness for a while, he's sort of re-entering society or the city or whatever it is. And he's now finding all these things that he used to be. And so again, it had another like shift in the character right there. And I'm like, huh, this is interesting. This is one of those weird movies where as it goes along, it starts like peeling itself like an onion, almost like layers mm-hmm. and layers and layers, which again, unlike anything that was in my head when I sat down to watch John Wick with a pig. So
yeah, well, yeah. And it's one of those things, and Andy, I want you to take this away too, is this is where it opened up to me the reason and there's more I'm sure we figure out later on, but as he's talking to this chef, I think we sort of realize that what Rob realized is nothing. We get so caught up, I think, in society of it's important to not just be a chef, but be a chef of the best restaurant and own lots of restaurants and be successful in the restaurants and have people tell you that you're the greatest chef. And as he was saying to the chef, it doesn't matter. Just it's what you care about that matters. And I think this is where I realized, or at least I think that Rob didn't really care about being the best chef at the end of the day. None of that was important to him.
No, yeah. And that scene's my favorite part of the movie, because I think it's, like Johnny said, like the movie's layered, like the scene's very layered, because even in the beginning, I had no idea Cage even knew this guy. And then at the end of it, the guy who plays that chef does it so well too, how, you know, he's just like, how's everybody doing? And then he just gets broken down, broken down, broken down, broken down. And by the end, he's like chugging the wine that he like poured at the table. It's just such a crazy scene. And I loved hearing Nick Cage remember, which we'll come back to later, is him knowing exactly what that guy's like. He wanted to start a tavern, and what was his dish that he wanted. The guy, you know, spat it out. And then he remembered why he fired him. He fired him for, what was it, overcooking the chicken or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I was just like, man, this guy's got an amazing memory.
Yeah.
But also, I got to say, for Derek here, the chef, I love his line too. He just looked at Cage and he goes, do you need medical attention? I was so glad he said that, because I was wondering that the whole time. Like I said earlier, I'm like, this guy's face is a mess and nobody's like helping him.
Well, it's something about this scene too that now I'm retroactively remembering as we go through it like this, is I was going to make fun of the hand pan scene where he played with the kid, right? And he was in his old backyard. Very creepy scene in a lot of ways, but if we didn't know these characters, but he's asking about the persimmons tree and he's like, what happened to it? Oh, I don't think we have it anymore, or whatever the kid says. And again, I'm realizing again, retroactively, the only reason that was there is because he cared about the persimmons tree. Mm-hmm. That was one of those little things he cared about. And so he just went to go check up on it, and it's gone now, but that was one of the things he cared about. And that's why it was there, is because he's just checking up on the things he cares about. I don't know. Kind of a cool scene.
Well, and then, sorry to add to that scene with the restaurant, I love Cage's monologue too, about like, nothing is real. The customers aren't real. This isn't real. And it just kind of was like, it was great, because finally you got to see Cage like opening up to see more of his past and figuring out, like Johnny said, he's not just a crazy woodsman in the woods. He actually has all these layers to him and all this, you know, backstory with him. And I kind of had a feeling, did you guys, that it was the dad of Amir? Like, I felt like they gave you kind of subtle hints where I wasn't too surprised that it was him. Were you guys?
Yeah, I was actually about to ask you, and Johnny will let you take it away. Did it work for you also that Amir's dad was the guy that took the pig? Did you feel like that was from a story perspective, the bad guy you wanted?
I think when you're dealing with such a small cast, you know, if it's like a whodunit, right? You're not watching Knives Out where you have like 15 characters and you're like, oh man, it could be any of them. Mm-hmm. This was more like, okay, what is going on here? They're not going to introduce a character in 5 minutes and then expect us to remember that. Like, it's not going to be the lady that was just like, she did what? Like, you know, Andy's favorite character.
It was Marge.
Marge.
Mac.
Yeah.
I think Mac was that lady.
Crazy. It's not going to be her. And I guess I didn't care. I didn't care who took it, because I was enough connected with him to where I was just like, ugh, this guy's having a rough day, you know? And it just felt like, okay. And I, unlike you said, Andy, was it you, they connected the father, or was it? Yeah. You connected.
I wasn't that surprised when they're like, oh, it's Amir's dad. I was like, yeah, okay.
It didn't bother me. I was just like, that makes sense. You know, just keep it all self-contained right there. So that, I was cool with that. That was fine.
So
and
yeah.
He goes nuts. Starts kicking the Camaro. It's like, my Camaro.
That was great. You know, he had all these great little moments.
Yeah.
Amir speaks to his mom, who is still alive and on life support. Amir's dad won't let her die, he says. Rob steals a bike and heads towards Amir's dad's. Darius says his kid should work a desk job, and he'll give Rob $25,000 to walk away, or he's going to chop the pig up into bacon. Amir meets Rob outside of Darius's house, and Rob admits that he doesn't need the pig to get the truffles. He just loves the pig. Rob tells Amir to get everything on a shopping list. Andy, is it weird that they're acting like this pig is this important?
No.
Or like that Darius feels like a supervillain in this.
I don't. I don't know why they took this pig. I'm still mad about it. Could have they done this movie with like a CGI pig? I don't know. I was just sad knowing that this pig was somewhere and we couldn't find him. I thought he was important. Yeah, he was finding all these truffles, but it was just odd, just the way, like, because it was Adam Arkin, you know, Amir's dad. What was his name? What's Amir's dad's
Darius.
Name? It's Darius. I mean, the guy's such like a powerful guy, which also I was confused at, because is his job he supplies food for restaurants and he's got like this monster house? I'm like, never knew that was a thing you could make a ton of money on, but apparently you do. But I thought he would have got better people to steal the pig too, not those two random tweakers. It just seemed like his operation wasn't too, there wasn't much organization to it. I felt like it was just like he was on the top and then he had guys at the bottom. He didn't have any like good middlemen. He should have just had his son working with him. The whole thing was kind of confusing to me.
That's where, and again, with the pig, because they mentioned multiple times you can just get a different pig. Like, it didn't feel like there was actually a lot of value in the pig. So to go through all this work to steal the pig seemed weird. Also, the fact that there's like an underground network of people who may have heard of the whereabouts of a stolen pig. Andy, I know you pretty well, but if you stole something, I would have no idea unless you told me you stole something. You know, like if you stole a pig, I'd never know about it until you said something.
Yeah, until you came over and I had a pig in the backyard. Right. Like, where'd you get that? I bought it.
Yeah, I'd go, oh, okay. And then I'd never think of it again. And
like that truffle pig Nick Cage has. No, different one.
And then even if someone said, Jack, do you know of a stolen pig? I'd still be like, I don't know. Funny you ask, though. My friend just bought one.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that had, and it just happened. So it must have been like he announced, Darius announced it in like, he tweeted it. Grabbing the pig today. Tweakers, do your thing.
So it was, I mean, at this point, I just understood it. And I was like, okay, we're that's how it's going. But the way he's like, I'll chop this pig up into bacon. I'll give you 25 grand for it. I'm like, if he doesn't care about the pig, like Darius doesn't care about the pig, why is he going through so much work for this pig? Just get another pig. Because even when the pig was lost, they were just like, just get another pig.
All right. I'll add something here.
Yeah.
So there is this, which I guess makes sense when you finish the movie and you kind of put things together. There's this sense of jealousy that the father has for the son, right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess it seems like the father never thought the son was going to be good enough to do this. The son started proving him wrong. And almost like that pig was his gold mine, which was really interesting in the writing that they say, oh, by the way, the pig is useless. The pig doesn't help me find the truffles. It's like the wind or the whatever they said.
The trees.
You know?
Yeah.
The trees. Yeah. So you're like, okay, well then the pig is his metaphor for his replacement of his wife or whatever, right? You lose your wife, you gain a pig, I guess. So now we're in this situation where we're like, okay, so his pig is his number one thing, and Amir needs the pig to keep Cage happy so he can keep making money to prove his dad that he's not useless. And then Darius, the evil villain, he decides to just take the pig to just ruin everything and make it the biggest point in the whole movie, right? It's all about that one decision that he makes. So when it comes to that like moment in that conversation, you're like, all right. And you start putting more things together. And so, it's really interesting. So the more we talk about it, the more interesting this movie is.
You're right.
And if Amir and his dad would have just went to therapy, it would have been fine. They would have like connected. They'd have figured shit out.
There's no movie.
And can we talk about Nick Cage stole a poor kid's bike?
Well, before we get into that, because I do want to say because Johnny, you opened up my eyes to how evil Darius is, but how typical businessman he is. He couldn't beat his son in selling truffles. So he wasn't trying to get the pig. He was just trying to stop his son.
Yes.
Same way big businesses do to smaller businesses all the time, where they'll buy up something just so the little business can't buy it anymore or something like that. It just happened to be the pig was inconsequential. I think if he knew that it was Rob who was finding the truffles, he would have just bought off Rob in the first place. But interesting. That does make Darius seem a bit more evil. But Andy,
right,
you're a big fan of stealing bikes from kids.
You know, when I was a kid, I got my bike stolen at the convenience store. And it was just not great. I never knew who took it. I never got it back. So I really feel for this kid that, or adult, could have been an adult's bike. You know, yeah. I've got my bike stolen as an adult. Also not great. Jeez. So Cage, I mean, I don't know.
There's really some smelly woodsman riding your old bike around right now, Andy.
If I knew the circumstance, though, if somebody stole my bike because they're trying to find their lost pig, I'd be like, all right.
I'd go with them. Let's go find that pig.
Yeah. See, that could have been another thing. He could have got the person that had the bike. They could have got their friends around the neighborhood. And then, you know, then we get the action movie again.
Rob got mad at Amir, by the way, for his dad having the pig. And I thought to myself, why are you mad at Amir? Amir made it very clear him and his dad are not good friends. Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
Started kicking his Camaro.
Like, from the very beginning, Amir's like, yeah, my dad's a dick. I don't like him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what? Your dad took my pig? Ah.
I want to back up one thing. Andy, you had a great point, which I'm now reflecting on three or times in my head here. This dude, the father, Darius, has got so much power and so much control over this restaurant world that we're being opened up to, that why did this little pig kidnapping get botched so easily?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like these little, like you said, like where is that missing cog in his, like, get someone that can steal a pig without this blowing up and we have to write a movie about it, you know?
Yeah. Like, look at that house. I mean, he's doing something right. I mean, that house is amazing. It's got great property.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that until now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, we get to what the movie calls part three, a bird, a bottle, and a salted baguette. Amir uses Rob's name to get the items on the list, and while getting wine, he finds out that Rob lost Lori, who I just assumed was his wife, but I don't think they actually said for sure. Meanwhile, Rob goes to a bakery and gets a baguette from an old friend. Back at Amir's place, Rob starts putting the pieces from the grocery list together, and they bring it to Darius. They share the meal, and Darius breaks down. Darius demands that Rob leaves his house. Rob says he remembers every meal and every person he's ever cooked for, and Darius confesses that the pig had already died. Rob and Amir head to a restaurant. Rob says if they never looked for his pig, in his head, she'd still be alive. But Amir reminds him that she still wouldn't be alive. Rob decides to walk home and expects to see Amir on Thursday. Rob makes it home and listens to the tape Lori recorded. It was on his birthday, and they were headed out to a restaurant. But first, she played him a song that reminded her of him. Johnny, this is not a happy ending, this movie.
I mean, that's debatable. Because and here's why. It comes to is a simple point when we're starting the story, when you watch him take this cassette, right? And he's trying to play it. And he's just like, I can't play it. I'm too sad, right? I can't play it. I'm just too sad. I'm just so sad. And then someone steals his pig, and then he has that moment where he just goes down to his knees. He's just crying. Everything's just so sad, right? And then at the very end, he plays the tape. So is it as sad? I mean, it's he's come to that point in his life where we don't know. Like, if we watch Pig 2, it might be him, like, opening up a restaurant and being like,
"Yeah,
let's do this!" You know, he cuts his hair, and, like, he just shaves and, you know, puts bandages on, and he's just like, yeah, I'm ready.
Finally cleans. No, he still has the blood in his face.
He did.
Well, yeah, for
he
Andy's
did.
Sake, he still
no,
has
he
the
did,
blood.
I'm glad he mentioned that, because, yeah, he finally does it. I agree with Johnny, actually. I don't think it's too sad. Well, it is sad, but, yeah, I agree with Johnny in the sense that I think the ending is like a – he's finally not over the death of his wife, but
– Acceptance.
Yeah, kind of like – I could see him, like, starting, like, to clean himself up, maybe get out of the woods.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so funny because I kept wanting, I'm like, just wash your face. And he does, but he washes it in the lake. And I'm like, come on, man. I know you got plumbing in there. Just wash
I don't
your
think
face.
He does. Because at the beginning, Amir says, get a shower with like the...
Oh, yes, to bring him like a heater or something.
There's plumbing somewhere in Portland. Yeah. He could have washed his face somewhere. But I'm glad he's cleaning himself off and stuff. But it's funny, Jack, you mentioned that I picked this movie. I thought you picked this movie because right when the pig died, I thought for sure the pig was going to live. And I'm like, you guys probably know, I'm a big animal lover. So like for me, I'm this like, if the pig dies in this movie, I'm going to be so pissed. And then when he does... I was like, Jack, you picked this movie. But the fact that I picked it, now I'm like, because I was watching it, my wife came in and like, she walked in right when that part happened where you find out the pig had died. And I'm like, this movie's sad, Stephanie. And she's like, why does the pig die? And I'm like, yeah, it does. It does. And I was like, so bummed out. But kind of like Johnny said, like, you do get that moment of the pig dying and it's really sad, and I like the way they shot it too, how Cage just kind of crumbles and it's kind of like silence. But yeah, it does, like after that happens and like he goes home, and it does kind of seem like he's getting like a new way of thinking and a new way of life maybe. So yeah, Pig 2, Rob's Restaurant.
Right,
Pig in the Big City. The the something I liked about this movie is the presentation of so often you see movies where there's a town and someone comes back to the town and they've been gone for a long time, and you always see it from the perspective of the town, but this was the guy had left and he went back to the town. You saw it from the perspective of the guy and things are different. And as someone who's left home and goes and visits home every now and again and things have changed and things are different, there's something I connected to a lot about this movie where you go back and you're like, you got rid of the curtains. Like, oh yeah, it was so-and-so's idea. Like, oh, it looks better, you know, or, oh, this used to be this way. Or, you know, and seeing those changes, I think that that's an aspect of life movies don't capture a lot. And I thought that this movie did a good job of that, going back to your old life, so to speak, and seeing the way things are after you've been gone for a long time.
Yeah. And can I just talk about too, how they sneak into a house to make a guy dinner? To me, that sounds like a dream. I wish somebody would sneak in and make me dinner.
Yeah.
But I was a little confused. I mean, the guy's house is big, but if somebody snuck into my house and was cooking in the kitchen, I would hear them and be like, hey, what's going on in here? He never notices that anybody's in his house, sneaking in his house, cooking. Because pots and pans are probably, you know, knocking around and there's cooking noises. He doesn't hear any of it.
Maybe he did notice, but he was like, please be cooking me dinner. Please be cooking me dinner. Because if I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard someone cooking in my kitchen, I might let it play through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's someone in the house, but I think they're cooking.
But it smells delicious.
Smells good.
Yeah. I'm going to let this play out.
Let's see how this goes before then
the son's like, Dad, we made you dinner. He's like, get out. I'm like, what? You smell that aroma?
Yeah. I like how also though, you're the blood covered guy that threatened to do damage to me if I don't give you your pig back. Oh, but you made me dinner. Sure, I'll eat that.
Yeah, right. There was a part of me that was kind of like, is he poisoning him? Like I thought maybe that was going to happen. Like
I thought that too. I definitely thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, yeah, he broke down in tears instead, right? He had like this weird like flashback of, I remember the last time I ate this piece of meat. I don't know what that was, just very overwhelming moment where you're just like, okay, now he's going through something. Everyone's going through something in this movie, and that's why everyone's so connected. But I will say this, and I want you guys to tell me what you thought of this scene. I did not need Amir to break down and cry in his car. I did not need that. I don't think that was warranted. I think it took away from Cage's moment, you know, it took away from everything that he was going through. And then they're like, let's focus on him. And now he's going to cry. And I'm just like, no, I don't. It took me right out of it for whatever reason. I didn't need that. Yeah. I wanted him to drive away and maybe cry while he's driving away. But you're so sad that you're going to fetal up into your car. I'm like, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what Amir was sad about.
Exactly.
Like that sad about. Obviously, if you have a rough situation with your parents and things, but
yeah,
I don't know what made him. You're right. I don't know what made him break down.
Right.
In that situation, because I'd be bummed, but I wouldn't be like,
yeah,
You know,
we've all driven with tears. Get over it. Drive.
Right. Yeah. You put on a sad song and you sing along at the top of your lungs like a normal person.
Right.
I will say, so as we wrap up, and Johnny, you're the guest, so you get the last word. On my end, again, I thought that this movie was really well acted. I know if you listen back to this, it probably sounded like I questioned a lot of stuff and maybe wasn't happy. I actually really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was weird in how it didn't feel like it rushed anything, but it definitely moved along at a pretty good pace the whole time. It never felt like it was stale. I thought the acting was great. Like I said, I feel like there was more to the world than what I got, and so I felt like I was playing catch up a little bit. I do think if I watched it again, though, especially after this conversation, I would appreciate it a lot more because I would go into it with a different set of expectations. A bit like for anyone who listened to our Once Upon a Time in Hollywood review. I the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, I don't know about this movie. Then when I went back and watched it, I was like, this is an incredible movie. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really good. I still don't know if 97% is fair, but I think if I watched this one again, I'd probably really enjoy it the second time around. Andy, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I went into it thinking this was going to be like Cage action film, big monologues, big, you know, big Cage moments. Yeah. But what we got was a really solid movie in like character development. And I think if I was a more intelligent person, I'd probably even be able to say more about, you know, what they were going on psychologically. Mm-hmm. However, I can say that there was a lot going on with everybody and it connected well. And having the pig die wasn't quite as sad as I was expecting if they were going to do that. So because he does kind of rise from the Phoenix, whatever that is.
Yeah.
He's
from
kinda,
the ashes.
Rise of the
he
ashes.
Does. Yeah. Yeah, he does. But yeah, well acted. And it's great to see Cage like doing some, you know, great acting and not just be like a crazy guy, like crazy in a Bad Lieutenant or something like that, which is also fun. He's fun in everything. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. You're in for a good time with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
But Johnny, final thoughts on this one as we wrap it all up.
Sure. Final thoughts. Not 97. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
But I will say definitely 80 something. Like it's in the 80s.
Yeah.
The question is, if enough people saw it, will it be nominated for anything? Does it deserve some SAG nods? Like, you know, like I think it does.
Yeah, for acting, for sure. I thought I thought Nicolas Cage killed it in this movie.
Yeah.
I 100% believe he's a crazy, like, woods guy.
Right. But will it get anything like that? Because usually it's like, if it's a small movie, it's like, who saw it? And, like, will it get enough attention? And so, I don't know. And I guess the last thing I'll say is, I did enjoy this movie. I'm home for the holidays, for Christmas, as you can see by the trees behind me mm-hmm. that used to have snow on them. And the snow's there somewhere. I just got back from an Italian dinner where I had spaghetti and meatballs right before I watched this movie. Oh. And I realized right before I watched it that the meatballs were made of pork. So I had this moment where I'm like, oh, should I be watching this movie? But it's fine. But thank you. One more final thought, actually, which is going to be disconnected from Pig, but more towards the podcast, is so a few days ago, I'm driving from Milwaukee to Chicago, and I was with my niece and her boyfriend, and I said, hey, I got to do a podcast this week. Do you guys want to listen to the show? Because I'd listened to, you know, previous episodes, whatever, but I just wanted to just kind of like freshen up, you know, listen to like the vibe and everything. And so I let them pick it and they picked Mean Girls. And I'm like, this should be cool. And at the end of that podcast, you had convinced us that there were very, very few Mean Girls in that movie. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
We all had a different opinion after listening.
Like, yeah, the mean girl was Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. She...
after all of it, Gretchen Wieners was a nice gal.
She actually was nice.
Yeah.
It was just fun to hear it from a different perspective. And my niece was just like, they weren't really mean at all. And their boyfriend's just like, Ryan, the boyfriend's just like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'll let them know.
Yeah, well,
they were just girls.
It's good to know. One person at a time will change the world on Mean Girls.
Cheers.
I still say that Tim Meadows is the best part of that movie, though.
Oh, agreed. He kills every scene.
But that does it for us. Before we wrap up, though, Andy, can you hit a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon from this movie?
Yeah, this is a good one. Nicolas Cage was in Gone in 60 Seconds with Angelina Jolie, who was in Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad Pitt.
With Brad Pitt, who was in
Sleepers with Kevin Bacon.
Bing, bang, boom. That does it.
Kevin Bacon and Pig. Wow.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Bacon and Pig. What a good combo. They should have Kevin Bacon in this one. But that does it for us. We're going to go to 2022 for the next episode where we're going to review, pull back the curtains. We figured this out literally just before we recorded, Knives Out, Glass Onion for 2022. Very eager to see that. I'm Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Andy, where can the world find you?
You could find me at Just Andy Rossi. And shout out, Johnny, you mentioned Knives Out during this recording, so this serendipitous.
Yep. It was nice what do they call it, like a hypnosis thing where you say it earlier on. Anyways,
yeah,
Johnny,
hypnosis thing.
Where can the world find you and all the stuff you're working on and Make Magic?
Yeah, go find the band. Forget me. Go find the band. Find us at Make Magic Music.
At Make Magic Music. Give them a follow. That does it for us. We've got one more in season two. It's going to be Knives Out, Glass Onion. Make sure to check that out. And then we'll see you all next year.